we're preaching through Hebrews 11, where there's a big list of famous folk from the Bible, I suppose, and I was asked to pick one. If you don't know me that well, then I'll tell you that the character of David is absolutely crucial in my walk with God, really, and so I couldn't not pick David. So the one that came to mind was the story from 1 Samuel 24. And don't worry if you have if you don't have a Bible, I'm going to show you a video of it. Now, it's a video from a TV show called, or not a TV show, but I found it on YouTube, called Superbook. Any of the parents might be familiar with it. And I don't have a huge amount of experience with Superbook, but there's a couple of young kids and a robot involved. They're not in the Bible. I just want to make that clear. I don't know why they're there, but the rest of it is pretty good. So we're going to watch that, and then we're going to go into why character matters.
The link for Ross's video is in the description.
A quick run through of why character matters. And there's three things I've been thinking about this week. First one's character matters to God, character matters in community, and character matters for what God has for you. So why does character matter to God? Well, character matters to God because he wants to show his love to us and to take burdens off us. And those two things are linked by a paragraph in Romans 5 where it says, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's a clear link here between character and revelation of God's love here through perseverance. And if you've ever been through a tough situation, then you'll know that hope is the thing that powers you through it. Hope is the thing that powers you through tough situations and eventually reveals God's love to us. And I actually saw this progression last year when I was working on an awful job situation. And I had to persevere like I'd never had to persevere before. And because of that, I've seen this sequence of things in real life. At the time, I felt like God said to me, yes, this is a crap job, but don't leave. He said to me very, very clearly, don't leave. He says, I'll get you out, but don't leave. And it took all of my perseverance, all of my character, and all of my hope to wait to get out of that job. But because of that time, a year ago, God managed to use it really powerfully. And I've now got a much deeper relationship with him than I've ever had because of that. And I've now got a much larger revelation of his love for me because of that. And this is shown again by James 4. Like, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. To submit yourselves to God, that shows character. You know, to humble yourself is a sign of great character. But this verse is also got a bit of a sequence of events here. It's saying to humble yourselves, submit yourselves to God. So we could say that submission grows humility, and humility grows character and favor. Character really matters to God, and actually matters as well when you're in community. You know, character matters when you're in community because, if we're really honest, we are really bad at judging our own character. You know, in general, we're meant to live with other people. Like, we are not designed to do this life on our own. And, you know, a lot of our troubles are when we go on our own and try and do it on our own outside of community. And it's really clear. It might be really obvious to say, but it's said over and over again throughout the Bible. I mean, just as an example, got three Proverbs here. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. This is very like war-like language, but you know, if you recall what's said in the New Testament, like we are not in a battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We are in a war. So this is just as applicable for us today as it is for Israel, who actually were in a territorial war. But character matters in community, and advisors are really good for us because people interpret things differently to each other. So if I try and if I try to interpret events or a decision with just me, it's only got my opinion, and it's a very two-dimensional or one-dimensional, I suppose, way of thinking. But if I can get advice from other people, I suddenly see things I couldn't see myself. You know, God has put us in community deliberately so that we can draw wisdom and strength from one another. Because as I say, we're often not very good at judging our own character. I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, and I include myself in this, most of the time, we're often blind to our great qualities, but see our flaws, we know them inside out. And that just creates an imbalance. We need other people to be able to say, no, no, you are really good at that thing. And see that thing over there? I think you're kind of exaggerating your flaw there a little bit. You're not as bad as you think you are. And often, we often have a clearer picture of other people's characters than of ourselves because of that. Not because we necessarily know them better than we know ourselves, but just because it isn't going through that skewing filter. But this isn't a sort of catch-all, you know, ask everybody for every decision, because people interpret things differently depending on what they have in their hearts. In the story we watched the video of just now, David's men, his mighty men, his most trusted people, they saw a great opportunity for David to avenge himself. You know, they were his advisors. They gave him their opinion. They said, David, this is the moment. This is the bit God spoke about. But they had revenge in their hearts. But David, while they saw a moment, they saw an opportunity for vengeance, David saw an opportunity for mercy. So his closest advisors, they had revenge in their hearts. David actually had mercy in his heart. And so character matters in community because it matters who you ask. You know, David's men, they weren't, if you notice, if you read the story in the Bible, David didn't ask for their counsel. They imposed their counsel on him. And I wonder if there's a bit, if there's something in that. You know, strong character is a great indicator for good counsel. You know, like I say, I ask other people for counsel when it comes to big decisions, but that doesn't mean we ask everybody. Otherwise, we'd make every decision by committee, and committees take years to make any decision. So some of you might have been around, I think it was last summer. Was it last summer? When I spoke about this kind of thing, and I talked about having special access people in your life. You know, who are your SAPs? And I spoke about having two, maybe three people in your life who have special access to you, who are able to ask the tough questions, who you're able to ask for advice from. You know, that go-to people to get wisdom. When you're choosing those people, character really matters with that. And lastly, character matters for what God has for you. This story we read is at the end, is close to the end of 2 years of David being chased by Saul. And it's at the end of 20 years of David waiting to become king. Now I looked into this. I did an extensive Google, and it seems that general thoughts are that David was, if you know the story of David, you'll know that he was pulled out of shepherding to be anointed as the next king of Israel, and this is before he fought Goliath or anything like that. And it's generally except that he was around about 10 years old when this happened. And he fought Goliath when he was 12, right? Which puts it in perspective a little bit. But it says that later on in 2 Samuel, that he was, when he actually became king, he was 30. So he was anointed at 10, and then he became a king at 30, which means he waited 20 years between being told, you are going to be the next king of Israel, and actually sitting on that throne and wearing that robe. That's a long time, right? That's twice as long as he'd lived for that, up to that point. So why did God make him wait 20 years? Because let's be honest, if God wanted to make him king at 10, he could have. There's plenty of kings in history that have become king at 10 years old, right? So why was that? And I think it was about character. I think it really sums it up when David's fighting Goliath at 12 years old. When he's about to go out and fight Goliath, Saul tries to give him his armor, right? And David tries it on, but if you read the story, he's like, oh no, this is too big. This is going to get in the way. And I think I know that's literally what happened, but I think there's a bit of symbolism in there that David wasn't big enough yet for the king's armor. I don't think his character was big enough to carry the weight of the king's armor. And so, you know, his character wasn't ready to be able to carry the king's position and the authority that brings. And then when David kills Goliath, he gets taken on by Saul. Saul's like, you're the man, get in the palace. And then eventually David ends up playing music to calm down Saul's spirit. So he spends his days in the palace. And right, pause the story there. Right, David has been anointed at 10 years old. And at 12 years old, he's now in the palace, seeing a king doing this stuff. And he must have been like, this is how God works. This is what happens. Oh, I'm living in the palace. All I have to do is, you know, play a bit of music, watch Saul do his thing, learn a bit. And then when Saul dies, I'll be ready. It's like my apprenticeship right now. Right? He must have thought, this is how God works out that plan. Oh, I figured it out. And if you're anything like me, I've been in that position so many times where I thought I figured out what God was doing. And then wham, the absolute opposite happens. So when he ends up getting chased out, right? He ends up getting chased out of the palace. Saul's after him and he's out in the wilderness getting chased for 2 years. I bet he was like, hold on a minute. How does this work out? I was literally in the palace. I was like literally living there and in an apprenticeship. How on earth am I now in the wilderness? How am I going to become king through this way? And if you've ever read any of the Psalms, how many of those were written when David was getting chased? Right? It didn't make sense to get chased out of the palace, but it was absolutely crucial for David's character for when he did get in the palace. Although it only lasted a couple of years or however long, a matter of years, some of David's best work was in that place. That was where his best work was done. Now, I don't often recommend books to you, but I've been reading The Rescue Mission, which was written, it's just the Bible, but written as a novel, and very much got artistic license. But I love the account of this in the Rescue Mission. This is not strictly translated scripture, but it's a paraphrase of the Bible. So if you don't like that, then that's okay. But I'm going to read it. So I'll read it a little bit. When one day Saul appears in a cave, David says, this is it. Today is the day God spoke of when he said, I will give the enemy over to you. With one swing of the sword, David can save his own life, become Israel's king, and free Israel from Saul's truly abominable reign. One swing of Goliath's sword shall dispense justice. Like a sharp jabbing pain, David feels God's spirit crying out in his lungs, and immediately his arm snatches, jolting the downward swing of his sword. The blade clips Saul's robe, but only just and no more. Israel's future king has refused to become a murderer. He has no blood on his hands. I have found in David the kind of man I want, God exclaims, his face shining with joy. Like Abraham and Moses before him, he has experienced a long, arduous ordeal, and in the process, he has absorbed something of our enduring patience, longing, and faith. Faith that one day our promises will be fulfilled. With a character like this, now David is ready to be king. This moment when he decided not to kill Saul and end the chase was the culmination of years of character building. It was almost like the final test to see if David was ready to finally become king. Because you see, one moment can define your legacy. This moment defined David's legacy. It would have been a very different reign over Israel if he had killed Saul. He would have had blood in his hands. It would have followed him all throughout his life. And the fun part is that once he let God do it, once he said, "I'm not going to kill Saul, God, you are in charge. You do it. I'll leave it in your hands." He gave it over to God. Saul has a change of heart and stops pursuing David. And not that far in the future, Saul was killed in a battle soon afterwards. God ended the pursuit in a way that meant David wasn't tainted with murdering Saul. You know, David, he at this time when he was in the cave and he saw Saul there, he had no idea that he was one moment away from his breakthrough. You know, we could be, if you're crying out for breakthrough right now, you could be one moment away from your breakthrough. And you just don't know it. You know, as preparing this, I felt that we could even be one WhatsApp message away from our breakthrough. If you think, a lot of breakthroughs can come through in just one WhatsApp message. So how do we build our character? This would be all very nice and very thought-provoking, except if I didn't have application. So how do we build our character? And I think it's a bit of a trick question in that I don't think we can. because I don't think it's, although I talked about suffering and perseverance and things, I don't think that in itself builds our character. I don't think self-deprecation or, people talk about penitence in old language. I don't think that builds our character. I certainly don't think doing a course will build character in itself. But David's described as a man after God's own heart. If you were to sum up David, that's the sentence you'd come up with. He was a man after God's own heart. And this is even said in Acts, when it says, God testified concerning him, David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And here's the key bit. He will do everything I want him to do. I think, how do we build character? I think it's as simple as following him without reservation. And he'll do it for us by leading us into situations where our character is stretched and grown. You know, remember, the perseverance leads to character. You know, is God asking you to persevere in an area of your life? I do think that if we truly let God lead us, our character will grow, and we'll get our revelation of God's love as a part of that. And as the verse has shown earlier, favor from that as well, although it's not a scientific, logical thing. But I do think that God really does care more about our character than we often think he does. I think he cares about it a lot more than we do, certainly. I've personally never prayed for my character to grow. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone pray that, possibly because it involves perseverance, and that doesn't sound like a fun time. So, you know, we're, and it's a funny one because we're often more ready to pray for the right weather than for our character to grow. But I think we should switch that round and pray for our character more often. And that's as challenging for me as is for anyone who's feeling that right now. But I see evidence throughout David's life and the rest of the Bible that that God only can only give us as much as we can carry. You know, that authority and that position and power that being that the kingship gave David, God was only willing to give it when he was ready, when the character could carry the calling. And I do believe that God is obligated, in his character, God is obligated to keep his promises, but he's not obligated to realize our potential. And he will only give us he will only realize a full potential if our character can carry that, because otherwise we'd get crushed under it and it would turn into pride or anything, any number of things. So my second challenging question is, are you open to him working on your character? But before you strive for perfection, because I know what I'm like, I would be like, right, what do I need to do? Give me my to-do list. We're all a work in progress, right? Before we strive for character perfection, we are all a work in progress. If we aim to open our lives up for God to work on our character, we are going to mess up. We just are. So when that happens, go back to the Father and just ask him to be shown how to hear him clearer next time. It's like, how can I do it better next time? You know, we are a work in progress. We're never going to be a finished article. So God isn't looking for us to be perfect. He's looking for progress. So he's looking for us to return to him quicker than the last time. I'd just like to do to pray for us, because this has really challenged me this week. So I'll pray for a couple of minutes and then hand back to Julian.